Give a look at this video. Some of you might recognize this first video. Some of you may not. Anybody recognize first before that comes up? Yeah, there you go. Key phrase. Who's the star? Michael. Yep, there he is, right there. Michael Landon. Yep. Member of Melissa Gilbert. Yeah. So let me just take it while it's going. Just a quick poll. How many of you have seen this in real time? Yeah. In real time, you remember that. How many of you have seen reruns? Yeah. Right. That's not us, is it? Thanks, Brian. You can cut that now. Yes. Did she fall? I forgot. I did. Yes. Okay, good. I did want to see the fall. She gets up. She's okay. So, but that's not us. This is us. Anything but Little House on the Prairie. Yes. Thank God for the wineries. Right. And what? There's the question. We're not on the Little House in the Prairie anymore. We actually live in not so little houses on the Greenway. We're actually, if you may have read this before, the average size of our garages are larger than houses in the 40s. The average size of our garages in Loudoun County is larger than some of the houses in the 40s. So, but the question is, I sidetracked real quick. The question is, how do we live well in Loudoun County? We get working hard. You do that. You play hard. We do that. But how do we live well in Loudoun County, the most affluent county in the United States? How do we do that? So let's just suppose you're having a dream one night, and you know God wakes you up, maybe in the dream. Let's say the dreams keep going, and God is asking you in your dream, all right, what do you want from me to live well in Loudoun County? Let's just suppose, imagine, God wakes you up, but you're still in a dream. Make that work, however that works for you. He has your attention, and he asks you, what do you want from me in order to live well in Loudoun County? The speaking team told me to shut up after I asked questions. They didn't say shut up, but often when I ask a question, I fill it with words like I'm just doing, so I'm going to stop. So what does it mean to you? What would you want? How do you want to? What do you want from God to live well in this county? Second question, tied to that. What do you want for your kids? What do you want most for your children, those that you love, in order for them to live well in Loudoun County? That very scene took place. God woke up Solomon, son of David. And this is what he says. This is in 1 Kings chapter 3. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices for, that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. But at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, just like he might have done in your thoughts just a moment ago. And he asked Solomon, God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask for whatever you want. What is it? Whatever you want, Solomon, I'll give it to you. So what do we want from God? What is it? Down in verse 9, Solomon answers, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. So who's able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon recognized he was young, he was inexperienced. He needed something to govern the people of Israel. God said, Solomon, whatever you want, just ask. Solomon said, okay, I want to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. God said, good answer, Solomon. Down in verse 12, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. Just wondering, was that on your list when you asked God? Did a wise and discerning heart initially pop right up? Like it did Solomon. Well, God is calling you and I to have that pop right up to the forefront of our thinking when he asks us, what do you want in order to live well in this county? May God give us all the ability to say, God, I want a wise and discerning heart. So we're going to take some time over the next several weeks in the latter part of the spring and summer, and we're going to marinate in the book of Proverbs. That means we're just going to soak our minds and our hearts and our souls in the book of Proverbs over these next weeks, because therein lies the most concentrated answer to what God replied to Solomon. You want a wise and discerning heart? Let's soak and marinate in the book of Proverbs. When we read the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, first seven verses, it's an introduction to what God's wisdom is all about. Answer three questions this morning very simply, very quickly. And the first is this: what is wisdom in God's definition? In God's mind, what does it mean to have a wise and discerning heart for you and for your children, for those that you care about? Verses 1 to 3, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. So what is wisdom? In God's mind, it's the combination of three ideas. It's not one simple thought. It's the combination of three ideas. And the first is this: wisdom in God's mind is a skill given by the Spirit of God. It's a skill. It's not a presupposition. It's not a thought necessarily. It is a skill. The second time the word wisdom is ever used in the Bible is found in Exodus chapter 31, and it gives us this very idea. Exodus 31, verse 3. Speaking to one of the people that were assigned helping the tabernacle get put together, God says to Moses, this is what he says, I have filled him, the worker on the tabernacle, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. That's wisdom. That's the first piece of what it means to have a wise and discerning heart. It means there's a skill in our minds. There's an ability by the Spirit of God to actually do something. But the second part of this whole idea of wisdom is the idea of being able to receive instruction. Basically, the idea there is humility. I can't claim to be wise and have a wise and discerning heart if there's pride in us, if there's a resistance to receiving instruction. Inherent in the idea of God's wisdom is the willingness to receive instruction. Gaining wisdom and instruction, receiving instruction. But the third piece is this. Let me just go over real quick. What's the first piece? Key word? Skill. Second key word? Humility, being able to receive instruction. The third piece of this idea of what it means to have a wise and discerning heart in the view of God is this: consequences matter. Consequences matter. That's the idea behind this phrase, receiving instruction, prudent behavior, gaining understanding. Verse 2, excuse me. Understanding words of insight. When Solomon writes understanding words of insight, it basically means there's an ability to put the pieces together. That's the basic understanding, meaning of that word. You can put the pieces together. In other words, if I do this, this will happen. Consequences matter. So wisdom understands, if I do this in God's wisdom, then I can look for him to do this, and I want that. On the other hand, a fool, Proverbs says at the end of this passage, despises wisdom. A fool says, no, I don't want instruction. It's foolish to say, no, I'm not going to receive that kind, good word, helpful word. I'm not going to do that. That's what fools do. So let me just ask you, how are you doing in that way in your marriage? How's that working for you? Are you receiving from your spouse good, kind words, important words of instruction from friends? Are you receiving that? That's the second piece. The third is this, being able to put consequences together. This is God's way. This is the consequence, and I want that. Fools say, this is what I want to do, and I know the consequence, but I'm still going to do it. We basically diminish the consequences of being disobedient to God. That's not wise. God gives us three very important components of what basically wisdom is. May God give us a heart to receive instruction, to have a skill in making decisions that understands the consequences and says, God, yeah, I understand. This is what happens when this happens, and I want that. So why is wisdom important? Verses 4 through 6. Wisdom is important for us because it gives prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Now, this is Hebrew poetry. Often in Hebrew poetry, you can understand what one line means because of the other line. So when it says it gives prudence to those who are simple, it defines simple in the second line. Knowledge and discretion to the who? Young. That's who they're talking about. That's who simple is. It doesn't have anything to do with intellectual ability. It has everything to do with inexperience, being a novice. That's one of the characters in Proverbs. It's the young. It's not necessarily evil or foolish or wrong. It's just young, inexperienced. They haven't learned the ropes yet, so to speak. That's the simple. So wisdom is important to the young, to the inexperienced, because it gives God's knowledge, gives God's discretion. To the young and to the inexperienced, it helps us, I'm including myself in the young part here because there's still some need for experience and learning some things. It helps the young avoid evil consequences. Wisdom helps the young avoid this thing of, I can do this, but this won't happen. And that's foolish. Yes, if we do this and it's not right, this will happen in God's economy. And you don't want that. It helps us avoid painful, stupid decisions. And it helps us choose to do things that are right and pleasing. And then later on it says this, that is right, doing what is right and just and fair. And that's back up in verse 3. That's why wisdom's important to the young and the inexperienced. It helps them do the right thing, the just thing, the fair thing. I was young as a carpenter's helper back in the day. About the second year into my summer, I was sent on a job to pick up a countertop at Murphy and Ames woodworking shop in Falls Church, Virginia at the time. And it was one of these countertops that was about this wide. It was glued together with some very beautiful wood. It had a worked edge on it. It was about 10 feet long. I was supposed to leave the site as a young, inexperienced carpenter's helper and go pick up this countertop. The last thing Delbert said to me, my supervisor, was, don't forget to tie that thing down. Don't forget to tie it down. And he let me have his truck, which had a rack on top. So I go to Murphy and Ames. I pick this thing up. It weighed a ton. I'm thinking, I don't need to tie this thing down. So I just stuck it in the truck, up over the rack. I'm coming down Washington Boulevard, up over the first hill. I look in my rearview mirror, and you know what I'm watching. I'm watching that countertop bounce on Washington Boulevard. Breaks into two pieces. You remember, it's glued. It's split right down the middle. Broke into two pieces. I'm picking up those two pieces. I'm thinking, these still weigh a ton. Believe it or not, I stick those two pieces up over the rack again. And you know what happened? Yes. I go over that second hill. What do I look? What do I see in my rearview mirror now? Not two pieces, but four pieces of wood now, bouncing on Washington Boulevard. You know what I do now? I tie those suckers down. I pull up into the construction site with a stack of two-by-fours, looks like a stack of two-by-fours, tightly tied to the rack of that truck. Those four pieces were not going anywhere. I was working on a site where there were about maybe 20 townhouses over this pretty big spot. By the way, did I mention this was Cindy's dad? Was the builder? Yeah. Cindy's dad is the builder, Jim Reed, built custom homes in this area for over 25 years. There are times when I pull up to the site and I can't find him forever, all day, and I can't find Delbert. They're just in houses. Guess what? When I pull up to the site today, that day, both of them, right there on the site. As I pull up, and both of them know, first thing Delbert says when I get out of the truck is, I told you to tie those things down. I was young. I was stupid. I did not listen to the instruction, and it was painful. I'm there on Washington Boulevard picking up wood, trying to get it back in my truck or tied down. Wisdom is important for the young and the experienced. It helps us avoid stupid and painful decisions, wrong decisions. But it also helps the wise. The second reason why wisdom is so important, it says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, in verse 5. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs, parables, sayings, and riddles of the wise. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and they will get guidance. What I'm hearing in all this, for us who are older, more experienced in life, we still want to get wisdom. We want to keep adding wisdom to our life every day. We never want to get to the place where we think we've got it. We've arrived, and we stop. That happened in Solomon's life at some point. This wise man who had all this wisdom at some point said, no, I'm going to stop adding wisdom to my life. Read it at the end of Solomon's life, and he ended disgrace. His heart had turned away from the Lord because at some point he decided to stop adding wisdom to his days. His legacy was uprooted, Scripture says. If you're wise, if you're more experienced in life, we want to add wisdom to our life every day. We don't want to give up on that for a second. That's a little bit of what we talked about last week when Micah was sharing last week. He spoke about his grandfather, Doug Coe, wise man. Doug Coe finished his life well. He had a strong legacy. 20-some nieces and nephews, grandchildren, younger people, at least 20-some, maybe even 50-something, you add those two groups together, are encouraged, influenced, shaped by that man's life and legacy because Doug Coe decided to keep adding wisdom to his life every day. He was persistent in that. He never let it lapse. So you and I, if you're young, if you're more inexperienced, add wisdom to your life. Take consequences seriously. If you're older, more experienced, let's keep adding wisdom to our life every single day. So, where do we get it? We looked at God's definition of wisdom. We looked at why it's important. So, where do we get wisdom? Verse 7, Hebrews 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Some people say this is the most critical verse. This is like the hinge pinch verse of the whole book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What in the world does it mean to fear the Lord? There's a real good definition by a pastor in New York named Tim Keller. We have it up on the screen. Listen to this. Obviously, to be in the fear of the Lord is not to be scared of the Lord, even though the Hebrew word has overtones of respect and awe. Fear in the Bible means to be overwhelmed, to be controlled by something. To fear the Lord is to be overwhelmed with wonder before the greatness of God and His love. It means that because of His bright holiness and magnificent love, you find Him fearfully beautiful. That is why the more we experience God's grace and forgiveness, the more we experience a trembling awe and wonder before the greatness of all that He is and all that He has done for us. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It means we have this sense of awe about who God is, His grace, His mercy, His power, His sovereignty, and we look at Him and we go, would You please shape my life, God? The response in the fear of the Lord is, God, I don't want this just to be knowledge. I want You to affect my life. So please shape my life because I know You. I love You. Another key aspect of this whole reality of the fear of the Lord, what does it mean to know wisdom by fearing the Lord, is simply this, the word relationship. One word, relationship. When we're in relationship with God the Father and we see Him for who He is and we're in awe of His grace and His power and we let Him shape our lives, it's huge. But we cannot talk about wisdom in the book of Proverbs without referencing Jesus. Let's take a look at what Paul says first in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Let's just read this together. It is because of Him that you are in Christ, the Him being God, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Jesus Christ is wisdom from God. Take a look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Another reference to wisdom in Jesus. Let's read this together too, please. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. The riches of God's wisdom is completely personified in Jesus Christ. How do we grow in the fear of the Lord, being wise and having a discerning heart? We spend time with Jesus. We spend time in His Word. We spend time listening to the Spirit of God. As we marinate in His Word, in His Spirit, in His truth, and it floods our minds and our hearts, we grow. God grows in us a wise and a discerning heart. Every day, for the next time that we're in Proverbs, for this next spring and summer, I have a challenge, I have an encouragement for each one of us, and it's this simply. Read the proverb of the day for the next 2 months. Today is April 30th, Carol's birthday, April 30th. It's also my sister's birthday, which I need to remember to call right after the service. And Mike Warner's birthday, well, all right, well... It's a very important day. Perry's mom's birthday, but we digress. So try this. It's not a pattern that I've established in my life, but I've tried it for about the last week and a half or so of reading whatever day of the month it is. Read that day. Read that proverb. 31 Proverbs. Read that proverb. Just try it. It only takes a matter of seconds, really, when you think about it. Read the proverb of that day. Whatever day you're in, just take some time throughout the day and read it. You're going to find a lot of different topics referenced. You're not going to find one completely through any one proverb. So maybe even keep a list of the different topics and areas that the proverbs touch on. Or maybe you just read it and you pick one and you think, I'm going to think about that for a little bit. Whatever case that may be. So do that. Let's do that. Pick one. Pick a proverb that day, read it. Think about it. Just see what happens. Maybe take some time. Get that in your kids. Maybe have that be a family time where we think about that. What does it mean to know the Proverbs, the wisdom, have a wise and discerning heart? Let me take just a moment before T and the team come back up and close us out with one song before we continue a very exciting part of our service after this part. Let me pray, close out this time. Father, we do live in a wonderful place. It's great to be here in Loudoun County. We can get to the Kennedy Center in a matter of minutes. We can get to Shenandoah in a matter of minutes. Father, we quick access to Dulles Airport. We have more money than we really deserve when you think about it. Father, we have so much at our feet. It is a great place to live. And Father, we do work hard. We do play hard. But Father, we want to know how to live well. So Father, give us a wise and a discerning heart that we know you. We know your wisdom. Please do that, Father, not only for our sake, but for your sake, for our legacy, for our children, for our grandchildren. Father, please work that in my heart, a wise and discerning heart. Please, Father, work that in us for your glory and your honor, in the precious, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.